Assyrian Empire. And if you go to a religious school, any one of them, they'll bring out Merle Unger's book, and they'll show you where the Assyrian Empire was. And they'll show you what the biblical version is that they teach from. Well, this one has got the biblical version that they teach in. And it really starts off with Tiglath-Pileser, and he comes out of the Assyrian Empire up in the north, and he goes down into Israel, and then he goes down and tries to conquer Hezekiah's little small Judean golf ball. He can't do it, so he slides down the coast, goes over, conquers all of Egypt. And that's the part they deal with, and they call it Assyria. But it is the Neo-Assyrian Empire, and there's some interesting things. So we're getting close to the end here, so I might as well at least talk to you about this. But if you know where the Assyrian Empire was, and all those little pictures you see in the Bible where it was, that's fine, because that's the only point I really want to talk about. But I'm going to show you everywhere it was and how influential it was. If you ask a preacher in a seminary, did the Assyrian Empire ever extend into Iran? They'd kind of say, oh, of course not. They don't know what they're talking about. They teach from a school curriculum that's been taught by every teacher since Hector was a pup. And in some ways, I'm a lot like Chuck. I want to know the whole story. But they just don't have time in a seminary. So I found out about the Neo-Assyrian Empire extended into today's Iran. I had an excellent, wonderful geography teacher. And David was a wonderful teacher, and I loved his teaching. And I already had been taught the Assyrian Empire before I was in his class, so he filled in a lot of particulars and points that I didn't know, and he taught me. I didn't go down there to teach. I went down there to learn. But if he had taught me the whole extent of the Assyrian Empire and when it first began, and it began as the Neo-Assyrian Empire, and it continued as the Neo-Assyrian Empire. But when I get through with all this on Sunday and all this other stuff, you will know that the Assyrian Empire was one of the greatest empires that ever existed in the history of man. It was much larger than most teachers in the seminary teach. And they know it. I'm sure David knew all about the Neo-Assyrian Empire. But the Bible part is what he taught from. And Merle Unger's Bible had pegged it. And David used other books. And he taught us the time in the Neo-Assyrian Empire that Israel is affected by it. So we didn't have time for all this other stuff. And David taught us all about that and a lot of interesting things about it. But not many people even know there was a thing called the Neo-Assyrian Empire, because except archaeologists and people like that. And if you go into a church and you start trying to impress them with your knowledge, you're going to be in trouble, because quite frankly, they see right through it. And they taught us not to do that in the seminary. But I've been here 40 years. I guess I can go around some mountains now. The Neo-Assyrian Empire extended into today's Iran. Matter of fact, it covered most of Iran. That's very significant. And I'll be showing you why in about two shakes of a sheep's tail. We've been taught this, and we know it, and we believe it. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Holy Spirit, Counselor, the intercessor between ourselves and God. Now this is the name of the child, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm going to concentrate on the Prince of Peace when I go through this here tonight, and I'll be putting off some side shoots from it on Sunday morning. I'd like for the whole church to know this. And since I started teaching this during the week and trying to get my messages all together, it's difficult. But, you know, an old man loves a challenge. He loves to just sit there and cry. Peace, he said, the Prince of Peace. So he is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment from henceforth even forever. Now, when he said, and there shall be no end, and he said upon the throne of David, he's talking about something that was established during David's life where promises were made to him, and the throne that the Lord sits on in throughout the millennial reign and at the judgment seat, he won't be David, but it will be the seat of judgment, and it will be the humanity of Christ that judges us there. And he'll be all these things, but he will have the humility of Christ, the humility of Jesus. And David was a man after his own heart. So all this is interrelated. I've been amazed at the 40 years here, how much I've learned about the interrelationships of God with those in different ages. And this is one of them. Now, this is one of the first things I preached up here when I preached, this man shall be the peace. And I thought we were going to have a revolution out in the missionary Baptist ranks. Oh, no, that can't be. That man can't be Jesus. Why? Because he's called the Assyrian. Well, I had a very definite reason for calling him that, because I knew and understood the Neo-Assyrian Empire. But I wasn't up here to impress people, so I just wanted to do it, stick into the Bible itself as it was taught in religious schools, because they don't have any use for the other. And this man shall be the peace. Now, this man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would be surprised how many people thought I was crazy. But if they had gone back before 1740, they would have found it taught there. Well, why was it dropped? It was dropped because along came with John Darby and the teaching that Daniel 9:27 was the Antichrist. I have issued an open challenge to every missionary Baptist preacher in our work to give me one example of a book, a scripture, a scrap of paper that proves that there were some people before the 1740s, and none of them, not one preacher, ever thought that the he's in Daniel 9:27 referred to the Antichrist. They either referred them to the Antichrist or Antiochus Epiphanes in the time of the Maccabees. Were they wrong were they wrong all that time from the cross to 1740? No. But in the last days, we've got a lot of people that write books and make money and get attention to themselves that don't know what they're doing. And that was the beginning of it. And so John Darby taught it was the Antichrist. No one had ever taught that before. I went all over this earth, everywhere I went and visited, and all over this country, and all over Alaska. Well, all is what the little they had in Alaska. Not one preacher or book or pamphlet or crazy group ever taught that that was the Antichrist. And you won't. What did they teach? Jesus. They taught it was Jesus. John Darby came along and he changed the whole world. And now, I'm a freak. I'm a freak because of it. And I don't mind. Somebody had to tell them the truth before Jesus came. And I've come to believe maybe he just chose me to do it. And you don't tell the truth and not get a lot of flack. Now, it says, this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. Whose land? Israel's land. It's in the context. Has to be. And when he shall tread in our palaces. Who's the our palaces? The palaces that were there in that day when Assyrian wrote. And he said what would happen. He said, and we shall raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. When we went through there in the seminary, one day they were asking class, and they said, well, I didn't ask them, but I probably would have eventually. Shall we tread against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men? And I said, they said, that's a, oh, what was the name they gave that? It's about that long. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, oh, we'll get to that later. Which is a good way that I use sometimes if I don't know what they're talking about. But I had to study this and come out and understand exactly what, it's a Hebrewism. It's a Hebrewism. And it's a way that they express something. He says, in our palaces, and we raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. It's the 7 and 8 principle. There's a 2-3 principle. There's a 4-6 principle. There's a, it's one number following another. It's throughout the Bible. And I sat down and showed that to a bunch of preachers, and they said, oh, that's just coincidence. Coincidence? They do it about 7 or 8 times, and finally I went down and got me a book that was about as thick as that wall, and it just came out and told you that. Well, if they didn't believe what I told them, they weren't going to believe what was in that book. I'm not upset tonight. I just, sometimes when I go through this, I get a little upset because nobody listens. And he says, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod and the entrances thereof. I've shown that to you. I've shown you the land of Nimrod. The land of Nimrod went right on down alongside what we have called modern day Iran. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. When's he going to tread in Israel's borders? Well, I would say that the Bible says that Israel is the land from Dan to Beersheba. And I would say in the tribulation period, that's exactly what they're going to tread down, and that's exactly what he meant. But he's going to, when they tread in the upper portion of what we call Israel today, and was Israel in that day, the Nabataeans and others owned the Negev in that day. And the remnant, he says, when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders, and the remnant of Jacob, now here we come with a millennial reign, which follows the second advent when Christ returns at the Battle of Armageddon to end it, And the remnant shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. Nothing was more pleasant to a Hebrew than to have a night that was clear and have a high dew point. They didn't even, I don't know what they called it, but a lot of moisture trapped down here. And you'd get the radiation off the top of it, and it would go up, and you would get huge drops. They would get on all the grass. And you would get some so large that they'd fall off on the grass. And that's what this is, as it shall be. And a lot of these Hebrewisms, preachers never study them. They don't ever look at them. They don't ever look at Bible manners and customs. And a lot of the time, Jesus was pointing, and he'd say, behold, the lilies of the field. And they were walking about right by them. And I know where they were. This happens all over the place. You get the thorns and the thistles growing right there. And he would point them out to them. You say, how do you know he did it? Because he described them perfectly. And he wrote this book to those people. And look at us. We've got all this fancy Greek language and all this other stuff, and thank God for it. Thank God for it. But what good is it to you if you don't understand where Jesus was and why he said it and what he meant, and you don't take time to study Bible geography? He knew what that was, and that rock split down. I wish he'd have put some... No, I don't wish anything, because he did it just right. So I don't try to second guess the Lord. I never won a battle with him, never will. He says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. They just come down when God wants them to come down. And why do you think my faith is strong? I hope you do, because it is. It's strong because I know it's weak. And I will tell you right now that the sons of man, men, they figured all this out about the showers and different things, but they still can't forecast it worth a flip. And I was glad God called me to preach. I was going to continue to do what I was doing. I'm glad God called me to preach, because, man, that's the most frustrating job I ever had in my life. People go out there, and problem was, I did a lot of round robins on B-57s and B-47s and then B-52s. And those pilots, see, would come back to the same base after they did all this running. They could do it. They could go up there and go for about 7 hours, 6-7 hours. And then they'd come back to base. And if I didn't do well on that forecast, I would hear it. And I learned to just smile and say, well... That's what Vernon Lyerly always did. I surrendered to him to preach, and he'd say, I'd come in there with a big problem I had, and he'd say, well. And then he'd let me continue, and then he'd say, well. You remember Brother Lyerly? He and Tommy got back down to the front one day. We let them go down there. You couldn't trust those two. They sat on the very front row. They both went sound asleep. Well, if they'd just kind of been over, it would have been all right. I'm surprised their neck didn't fall off. Their neck rubbernecked over that thing. And you could see their faces. They were so far over it. And we're sitting back there, and Brother Lyerly's continuing. And pretty soon they started snoring. So fortunately, the sermon ended when I got them home. Lord have mercy. Now, the last 1,335 days before the second advent of Christ. You have heard this so many times. It's pathetic. But now you're starting to tie it together. And as we go closer to the war in the Middle East, we'll understand it even better. Last 1,335 days before the second advent of Christ. Okay, king of the south is Israel, the king of the north is Antichrist. You've heard this so many times, I'm not going to go into detail. The king of the south is Israel. He pushes against the king of the north, that is Antichrist. This will occur after Obama leaves office, and it will occur during the next administration. I'm not quite sure exactly when it will occur in the next administration, but I feel very strongly it will in the next administration that follows all of Obama. And shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and many ships. I've told you about the trap he'd lay there. And I've told you why he'd do it, and I've shown you that he's already doing it, and he started a long time in the past when Hezbollah took over southern Lebanon. And he shall enter the holy, and like him, blah, 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 chariots and many ships. I've got a picture of some of the Assyrian ships. Their archaeological excavation discoveries, but they had a fleet, and they actually, but this is not talking about their fleet, but these were warships that they had. They didn't do much for commerce, but they did some. He shall enter also into the glorious land, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. Before this is over, he's going to overthrow a whole bunch of countries, and Israel will be among them. Now, you know what's significant about the Assyrian Empire? They were the most ferocious empire that ever existed. And do you know that they conquered all the way down through Egypt? They conquered all the way down through all the way over to Iran and into Iran. Conquered the city, capital of Iran today, Susa, and took up over virtually all of that place. Now, I want you to notice on this map on the back how big the Assyrian Empire was at its maximum extent. And this is the old Assyrian Empire, the one that's heaviest. And then you go out here and you go in the you go up to Euratha, and you notice that little dash line goes around it. Notice it goes all the way across what we call Turkey today, goes all the way across down through here, all the way into Egypt, all the way around here, and all the way around here, and then back down to here, and then back over from where we started. I want you to notice down here where it says the Egyptian. I want you to notice as you go up and across the Sinai, north of it, and you start up the Israeli coastline, you'll see one little area in there that's completely shut off. It's just a little circle. Do you see the little circle? You see it? Okay. They never did conquer Judah. Hezekiah went to the wall and he prayed. And they had a great plague. And it wiped out, I think, 139,000, maybe a lot more than that. I don't remember. But when they couldn't whip him, after this plague, it scared the fire out of them. And they took off and went all the way back to their capital. Now, that's why they use that section in seminaries. I'm not being critical of the schools, because they tried to get a lot of stuff in us, and they tried to give us the things that would be important to us as young preachers who were about like wasp. And they're bigger when they're born than when they're born than they are when they die. And so we had a lot to learn, and I learned this. And that helped me to understand why that is the Assyrian Antichrist. Because take a look over here. Over on this side. Notice where it goes out like this, down like this, down like this. Okay. You see where that darker section inside is? That's where it was before, back in 1000 B.C., before they ever attacked down there, before Tiglath-Pileser ever lived. I want you to notice that it's got Susa down there. You know what this is over here in that little part that juts out? It's Iran. And see, they told us to study to show ourselves approved. And they didn't do it so we could learn more than they knew. They knew that they weren't teaching us everything because they just didn't have time. I want you to remember that what is known as Iran today is called Persia. Of course, I've told you that before. And I want you to know that in Daniel, in Ezekiel, where it talks about pulling him down. Now, see, he doesn't have the 10 toes. But he writes about the ten toes as tribes. I want you to notice who's coming down. The king of Persia. How's he going to get over there? Well, do you know what's happening right now across the eastern part of Iraq? You know who's fighting with them? Right alongside of them? Iranian generals, Iranian troops, the best they've got. They've never been able to get along. I used to wonder, and I put it in a blog one time, why it said that the iron and the clay could not hold together long. It could not hold together long. It didn't say you couldn't stick them together, but they didn't bond. They did not hold together long. The Shia are the stone, are the iron, and the Sunni are the clay. Well, why did he put that in there? Because they're not going to stick together long. And when this Antichrist comes up into that area, he's going to bond them together. And he's going to hold them together. And they're going to come down in the next administration. Wait and see. Because right now they're working together over there. And the whole southern section of modern day Iraq is Shia. The whole northern section is Sunni. They're going to work together. He's going to be able to, and when they work, this right now is setting, what's happening over there right now is setting what's going to happen. I told you 3 weeks ago that, maybe four, I don't know, but I told you that this thing that was happening over there right then was something that was going to lead to a link that would go all the way over to the Mediterranean, and it will. And I'll get to that before I finish here. Okay. Now, it says, and he shall enter into the glorious land, Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand. Now notice he says, shall escape out of his hand. Here's his hand. He comes down. He takes Lebanon. He goes over and takes Lebanon. Lebanon will be one of the ten toes. He goes down and he takes Egypt. But he doesn't say that Egypt will escape. And that's when I looked up the two words. And I looked up this word escape here. Many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. It's a different word than the one you see down further down on the margin, escape, that he says about Egypt. You say, Brother McElmurray, is God that specific? Listen, he knows everything. And sometimes he is very specific because it encourages the people that study and understand it. And believe me, what we're about to go into is going to be something that we'll need all the spiritual strength we can possibly gather. And this is preparing me for it. It's two different words for escape. Now, Edom and Moab and chief of the children of Ammon, I've shown you so many times, I've said, oh, Lord, I'm going to bore them again. And then I do it. But I'm glad I did. Because he shall stretch forth his hand over the countries. And here he goes, moving out of there after he's clear. And down around the southern end of the Dead Sea, the land of these countries, which are one land today, Ammon, and their leader have fled, and for the Israelis, and they'll be tickled to death to see him. And then he says, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. Different words. Now notice he shall not escape. He's going to keep them down there in Israel as a remnant, in Egypt as a remnant. He will. Man, he'll swing them over. But he's going to keep them down there as a remnant, as hostages. He's going to work them like slaves. You say, you get all that out of that? Absolutely. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his step. The Libyans today have got ISIS over there, and ISIS will be a part of all this, although they'll be weakened by what's being happened now. But this says Libyans. Well, right now, Libya borders on Western Egypt, and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Well, a king that does something that another king that he's under doesn't like, and like they had to bring tribute from all over the place to the different Persian emperors. And Israel at times had to bring tribute. And this is talking about the steps of the throne. And believe it or not, Solomon had steps before his throne. And the ones who wrote this understood this. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and the precious things of even the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. He's not going to be too pleased with either one of them. And he may just appoint a couple of nuts, servants type kings, or he may keep the ones he's got that are down there that will be part of the ten toes. And he may cause them to bring, now remember, he'll be in Egypt. He may cause them to pay tribute to him, even though they're two of the toes. All that fits into Bible manners and customs. And I would rather say, tell you what I think it means than to just say, well, because I think it does. And if a man doesn't preach what he believes, he's a coward. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Okay, he's over there in Egypt. Okay, where's the Antichrist? He's over there in Cairo. What's east of Egypt and Cairo? The Negev, directly east of it. And what's north of the but tidings out of the east and out of the north. What's north of him? The U.S. fleet. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to help Israel except to provide them a umbrella. And we're going to try to prevent an atomic war up there. And we're going to be successful. Why not? They're scared to death of Israel and us and our atomic weaponry. But they outnumber us about 20 to 1. You'd have to be a fool to launch against a ship in the Mediterranean. They've never bothered me with this thermonuclear weapon. And if you look all these words up, you'll tell you I'm telling you this truth. Shall trouble him. Well, it's going to be toward the north out of the Mediterranean. The U.S. fleet's out there. And that bothers him. And what's directly east of him? Somebody brings him some news that they're preparing to break the gap across the Gaza Strip, and the U.S. is going to pull the Israelis out of there. That's exactly what I would do. But he shall have powers over the treasures of gold, and the Ethiopians shall be his steps. But tidings out of the east, now the north. Many people have taught and say, that's communist China. That is absolutely absurd. And the reason it's absurd is because he's going to go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly take away many. You mean he's going to go over there and take over China? People don't think. I'm amazed. People don't think. Quite frankly, the only reason I do is because I was trained to be a synoptic analyst, and you had to think, because sometimes a lot of people's lives depended on it. And I've made some boo-boos. And I didn't become an E9 by being a dummy. They sent me to enough schools to choke a horse. And I was a good synoptic analyst. Well, God's word is the truth. And I've never had anything to translate, to do this. I've never been able. Man, this is fantastic, this Bible. And sometimes I get in trouble with Leonard because I speculate some. But you know, this is life. And if I had a King James translation and I was out in the woods and had never had any training that God put me in, I would still worship him in spirit and in truth, but I get to know a lot about him with just the King James translation. You can tell who he is from the King James translation. You don't have to have all the Greek. He says, therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Okay, and he shall plant. Well, is he planning on going up to Russia toward the north? That's where they say that is. And carry away all the Russians? Well, isn't it odd that Russia's north and China's east? I mean, and it said he's going to take them away. And I've talked to preachers about that, and they say, well, that can't be right. And I say, well, look here. Doesn't this link up? And they didn't. They don't have to understand Greek. I said, he's not going to go up there and utterly destroy them in Russia and carry. And he's not going to do that. He can't do that. He doesn't know how to do that. And so, there's your proof. And
he only went back to Jerusalem anyway.
Yeah, he went back to Jerusalem.
Did he go all the way to China?
No, he can't. He says, "Which standeth for the children of thy people?" Oh, so okay. Blah, 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 blah. And he shall plant the tabernacles, and that means the tent. It means a fortress. It means Abaddon means a battle tent. It'll be put on the Temple Mount. I'd never known that if I hadn't studied. Of his palace. You see, that's what the king did. The king, he would Solomon. He would take his Abaddon, which was his battle tent, and he would take it, and he would take his throne, and they'd put it in that battle tent, and he would set up there and direct the battle. All the kings did that. Solomon wasn't too hot on it, but he did that occasionally. Between the seas, that's the Mediterranean, and the Dead Sea, in the glorious holy mountain, that's Mount Moriah, where the Dome of the Rock sets there, and actually the temple set just north of it. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. They can't help him. God's about ready to wipe him out. They're scared to death. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. I have changed my mind on this. I couldn't make up my mind between the end of the tribulation period when Jesus came with the saints. But I've made up my mind. This is the rapture. This is the rapture. And God catches out the 144,000 at the rapture. And everyone that shall be found written in the book, that's after that it talks about the people in glorified bodies. That's the rapture. I made up my mind. And like Tommy used to say, I made up my mind and I'm not going to change it. It's funny how many things you see in his last days. Okay. Now, listen, it's time to go back there. You want to read about the Assyrian Empire? read that large print on the back. And if you don't understand something on that map underneath, well, just ask me. But you have to understand that the Assyrian Empire began in about, oh, somewhere around 1200-1400 B.C. And or maybe 1200 B.C. And that one, they never taught us about in school. And I can understand that. They got a lot to teach us down there. So you can look at that for yourself. Is there any food back there?